ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you were one of the more than 86,000 customers who fell victim to Qantas' so-called ghost flights debacle a few years ago, you're probably pretty happy to see them slugged with a $100 million fine today, as well as having to fork out another $20 million in compensation. This is part of a settlement with the consumer watchdog, the ACCC, for Qantas' practice during the height of the pandemic of selling seats on flights that had already been cancelled. So what impact will this really have on the airline? Trevor Jensen is an aviation consultant. He's worked at a senior level for Qantas, Ansett and Nauru Air, as well as in regulatory roles in Australia and New Zealand. Trevor, firstly, can you just remind me what Qantas was doing exactly? Why did the regulator take them to task?
Well, good afternoon, Andy. Look, this is pretty embarrassing, really, because Qantas didn't self-report. They cancelled flights and they were still prepared to sell them, take in the revenue and put that revenue away. But if they'd self-reported and dealt with it, you'd sort of have more respect. But this is a very embarrassing for them and almost unethical behaviour that we've seen by the company that's affected a lot of people.
I don't know about you, but I don't have $100 million lying around. No. This is a pretty big amount. But for Qantas, who took home a profit of $1.7 billion last financial year, is this punishment enough?
Well, personally, I don't think so. They've reported $1,245 million for the first half of the underlying profit for this financial year. So $100 million to you and I is a lot of money, but within the corporate world, that isn't. And unless they sort of really feel the pain, then this is the price of doing business for them, and they'll carry on. And this is just washed aside. They'll pay out the people, pay the fine, and pretend it didn't happen. That's not good enough.
And as for the compensation, $20 million gone 86,000 customers' way isn't a lot of money. I'm sure that's actually not the calculation, but you get my point. I mean, I imagine that many might not even know they're eligible for this compensation or might even not bother applying for it.
Well, that's the sad part. A lot of these people, for them, buying the ticket on that would be a lot of their income. It's probably about weekly income. They've probably paid out 10, 15, maybe up to 30% of their weekly income for these tickets. And now they've got nothing for it. They'll get a pittance back. And they've missed out on the opportunity to travel. Now, Qantas was an iconic brand, a fantastic company, and it's just been allowed through this sort of behaviour to drift away into what you'd expect from a low-cost carrier. They're not a low-cost carrier. They're supposed to be our frontline carrier in Australia, and we should be proud of them, and it's very hard to be proud of them today.
So the question about leadership is an interesting one. Qantas now has a new CEO, Vanessa Hudson. They recently employed a new chairperson, John Mullen. Qantas has want to say that they've turned over a new leaf. Is that possible? Is that true? Because you'd argue that Vanessa Hudson would have been aware of these practices in her former role, I believe, as CFO.
If she wasn't, I'd be really surprised because as a CFO, she was very effective. And you would expect the CFO and the CEO to be very close on any financial decision. And when this was brought to their attention, you think that there would have been self-reporting to the ACCC. We've made a mistake. And now, and everybody accept that. People can make mistakes. And if it came down that path, it'd look forward. But I find it difficult that senior executives didn't understand that. And the fact
what
that
about
they're
the board?
There,
I mean, the board hasn't has had some rejuvenation recently, but also some consistency. What role should the board play in this compensation payout and penalty?
Well, I think most of the board should have gone. There's a new chairman there now. He's got a lot of work to do, and he's got the opportunity to clean out the executive team and put in people that do have the old-fashioned ethics and standards that Qantas were known throughout the world for. As I say, it was an iconic brand that's been allowed to be trashed.
It's 11 past five. Trevor Jensen is an aviation consultant and former executive at Qantas. We're talking about Qantas's agreeing to a $120 million settlement for selling seats on flights that had already been cancelled. I mean, this allegation, of course, is that Qantas was doing this to maintain the slots at big airports to prevent other competing companies from being able to take those slots. Qantas denies this. But I'm interested to understand what you think about what Qantas was doing wrong in this instance.
Well, look, the slots are very interesting. If you look at Sydney to Melbourne daily, there are about 37 flights. And you get an airline like Bonza that tries to come in and compete, and Rex for that matter, they've got to have access to the Sydney-Melbourne route. It's one of the most profitable routes, if not the most profitable route in the world. And Australia, unlike America, where you've got big cities with millions of people dotted all over the country, and we're the same size as America, but we haven't got that. We've only got 24 million. And so you go to a place like Longreach, for example, when you've got 4,000 people. Now, you can't fly big aeroplanes into there daily and make money. So you make all your money flying on the prime routes, Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane, and that has to subsidise the rest of your network. Now, if Bonza, for example, could not get slots, I think Rex have only got 6 flights between Sydney and Melbourne each day. So they're struggling because that is where you make your bread and butter. And Qantas has had a monopoly on that for a long, long time. And through Jetstar and the Qantas brand, so that both the brands come together to produce the 37 flights. But this is monopoly. We've got an ACCC, which is supposed to be looking at this and these sorts of issues. And is that fair competition? And whether you agree with the Bonza model, I personally struggle to understand their business model. But nevertheless, they tried.
How do you mean?
Well, flying big aircraft into little ports trying to make money. But they had to get access to Sydney and to the Melbourne route, and they just couldn't get that. And if they could have got that and started to, that would have given them the opportunity at least to put decent money into the coffers, as what Qantas and Virgin do, for that matter.
I often hear people in your industry say that Australia only has room for 2.5 airlines. I mean, it makes you think if an airline like Rex can ever compete with Virgin, let alone Qantas.
It struggles, and they've got the jets now flying, and the service on board that airline is exceptional. It's very, very good. Everybody that flies on them, but to be able to expand, they need to have more access. And rather than their 6 services a day between Sydney and Melbourne, they need to be able to get more services in there, but also get more slots to bring the people from the regional area into Sydney. Again, now Sydney's a constrained airport, as we know, with a curfew on it, so it is difficult. We'll see Western Sydney come along, but the infrastructure to Western Sydney you wouldn't describe as being first class at this stage. And it doesn't. I think that's going to be a weakness when that airport opens.
We'll have to leave it there. Trevor Jensen is an aviation consultant and former manager at Qantas and Ansett. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.